It is great to be with you. The freshness of your singing is amazing. The clean environment in which you meet is amazing. As I look up, that is Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. Every Friday, I lay my hands on my two daughters, and I bless them with that Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless and keep you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen. Amen. That is the blessing God asked Aaron to bless the Israelites with. And it should go to us and all our children. Amen. It's great to be here. Today I choose a woman in the Bible that inspires me. We'll take our lesson from Matthew 15. Okay. We'll read from verse 21 to 28. To tell you a bit about myself, I'm in the South London of the church. Amen. I've been a disciple. 2nd of April was exactly 25 years that I got baptized. Now, I realize some of you were not even born. Okay, so that's fine. But the Lord shapes our growth. I still have a long way to grow. And in this lesson, I'll tell you the areas I still have to grow in. But this woman we're about to look at inspires my faith or challenges me in many ways. It is the story of the Canaanite woman. And we take from Matthew 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps crying out for us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. I was reaching out to a Muslim guy in Croydon. And he used this very scripture to tell me, "Jesus is the most wicked man ever lived." A woman comes to Jesus for help for her daughter. And what does Jesus do? Destroys the woman. "I don't talk to you. You are from a different tribe. You are a woman. I'm a man. Don't talk to me. I came for Israel. You are a Gentile. Get away from me." Is that what Jesus was trying to imply? But actually, in this woman, Jesus said, "Woman, you have great faith." And that's something we need to learn. Jesus doesn't often tell people, "You have great faith." When Peter walked on the water, has any of you tried walking on water? Could you do that? Now, if somebody did that, how would you describe the person? Walking on water. Do you know what Jesus said to Peter? "You of little faith." And this woman, what did Jesus say to this woman? "You of great faith." Do you see the difference? We have something to learn from this woman. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "We saw Satan being destroyed from heaven," Jesus said, you of little faith, you haven't seen anything now, yet. Wait. But with this woman, Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. So we have something to learn from this woman today. What's the first thing we learn? When she came to Jesus, in verse 22, the first thing she said is, Jesus, have mercy on who? Me. Said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Now, who was sick? The daughter was sick. Was the woman sick? No. But she comes to Jesus and said, have mercy on me. This woman, in other words, takes upon herself the pain of her daughter. The pain of the daughter has become her pain. So she goes to Jesus and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. We see in this woman the first quality, a great faith that is born out of love. A great faith born out of love. She carries the pain of her daughter. So say Rory goes somewhere, hurts himself heavily, and I feel Rory's pain so much that I go to Jesus with Rory's pain. Can you imagine that? That is the faith Jesus says this woman had. And that is the faith we need as disciples. It's so easy for us to be very self-centered. We think about ourselves, our issues, our pain. Whereas in Philippians 2, the scripture says, don't look just after your own interest. We need to look after the interest of others. Amen. This is what this woman did. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 5:6 says, circumcision doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through what? Love. That is the first challenge we face with this woman. As I said, I've been a Christian for 25 years now. And so, the Bible says we should train ourselves to be godly. When I first came to church, I wouldn't even sing. Now, I loved it, singing, but I was completely timid. I remember coming to church for the first time. I was sitting at the back, scared. I wouldn't even sing. In those days, we were very interactive. We used to challenge each other. Somebody would come and say, you need to sing. And then eventually, church started clapping. I wouldn't even clap. I thought, what is that? Why should we clap at church? I wouldn't talk to people. To stand here and talk to a group of people is just completely an alien concept to me when I became a Christian. But I see God changes us. Disciples are meant to share their faith. Me, go and share my faith, talk to strangers, that's madness. That's what mad people do. They talk to strangers. But I see, 25 years of being a disciple, I have trained myself in all these things. Nobody needs to tell me, go and share your faith. I get out of my house, I take my daughters, and we go and reach out. Nobody needs to tell me that. Whenever my daughters see me talking to people now, Dad, were you telling them about Jesus? My daughters see that in me. Dad, are they coming to church? They keep asking me. After church today, we had a leaders meeting, then I was coming here. Dad, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the central ministry. What for? I said, I'm preaching there. Oh, okay, tell them about Jesus. I said, that's what we do. Okay, So I've trained myself to be godly. I'm not saying I'm there yet. My challenge is when people are not doing what I am doing, not to be frustrated with them, but carry their burden. My challenge is to sit down and think, why don't people read their Bible? Why don't they pray? Why can't they share their faith? Why don't they show up for the meetings? It's easy for us to be that way. Jesus says, actually, this woman came to Jesus with the pain of the daughter, completely selfless. So the first lesson we learn, we need to genuinely love and care for one another. That was the faith Jesus saw in this woman. Are you with me on that, church?
Yes.
We need to take each other in prayer before God. We need to take each other's burden. We need to know each other. The world wanting to know Christ, we need to carry them to Jesus in prayer. We need to love them enough. Paul says in Romans 9, there is an unceasing anguish in my heart for my race, the Israelites, that they may come to Christ. He said, even if I were to send to hell, so that they may know Christ. I thought, wow, what a heart. That is a heart of faith. Pure love. That's the first thing we see in this woman. She loved deeply. Jesus, have mercy on me. And yet, this woman wasn't even ill. The daughter was ill. She carries the daughter's burden. It became her burden. Point number two. She was persistently persevering. If there is such a separate thing. But she persevered consistently. You could see the barriers. In the Arab world, even up till now, the officials' wives don't talk in public, even to their husbands. So for a woman to step up and talk to Jesus, the reaction, the verse 23 said, Jesus did not answer a word. Have you spoken to somebody and they blank you out completely? My wife sometimes says, Roger, I'm talking to you. Okay, men are not good at responding. We need time to process things. Women talk. And men need to process before they talk. That's a generalization, but mostly to be right. But this woman was faced with death silence from Jesus. She could have said, who do you think you are? I'm going off. I'll go somewhere else. But she was persistent. Jesus said, look, I was sent to the Lordship of Israel. I'm a Ghanaian, you're a Nigerian. Okay? Okay, Jesus said, look, I'm Israelite. You are a Gentile. You see the other barrier there? The woman could have said, yes, I need to walk away. Then the disciples come, imagine strong fishermen shouting at a young lady, get away from here. And there was screaming. It wasn't a gentle word, if you look at the Greek interpretation. She still was facing barriers. But she was very persistent. Amen. Persevering. She wouldn't go away. That is the second thing. You see, in our Christian faith, we are going to face a lot of barriers. Whether it's ill health, whether it's finances, whether it's doubts, relationship issues, persecution, wanting to fit in. You understand what I'm saying? All these things will happen. Are you going to persevere? Friends of yours may even leave the faith. What happened to the church in 2003 was shocking. I had people that I used to speak to every single day, even on Christmas Day. We talk to each other. Then they say, oh, we don't want to hear from you again. It's a huge separation. It's like bereavement. These barriers will come and you need to ask yourself, do I still continue as a disciple of Christ? Do I still continue as a disciple of Christ? I remember as a student doing my exams. And this is a typical issue situation where the person discipling me at that point, really, I don't think got the input needed. But in the 90s, well, actually it was the 80s, yes. And I got baptized in 87. And I was doing a professional exam. And it was quite expensive, accountancy in those days. And I've paid my £1,000 to this private college, okay? And I wanted to be committed in every way. So the college was meant to be on Saturday, then Sunday afternoon, so that I get this tuition and sit my exams. And the person discipling me said, no, you need Saturday, you need to be at the Bible talk devotionals we do, and you need to be at evangelism. Okay, so I missed my Saturday classes, all right? And I thought, okay, I'll squeeze in extra time Sunday after church. So Sunday after church, 2 o'clock, I was meant to go for my private tuition till about 8 o'clock. And the person said, no, it's Sunday after church. You need to study the Bible with your friends who came to church. Okay. And so I didn't do a lot of work. And guess what? I remember sitting my exams and thinking, I have failed. I am going to fail. I just couldn't face the paper. You need to work hard. And if you're students, let me advise you. You need to work hard. Okay? You have your good quiet time. You do your academics. Okay? Don't abandon that. It's important. So I walked out of my exams and I thought, I don't want to come to church anymore. This is it. Why? My exams was an issue. And I was angry with myself. Actually, what happened is, when that brother said what he said, I should have even gone to my leaders and said, look, this is the situation. What do you think? So anyway, I was walking down Holborn, London School of Economics, towards the Strand. And guess who? I bumped into Douglas Jacobi. He said, oh, you look depressed, and I haven't seen you for a week. What's happening? So I explained everything to DJ. And DJ went, got this other brother, we sat together and rebuked the brother and said, brother, you don't do that. You don't even give somebody such an input without even getting advice from somebody else. And it was all resolved. And the next exams, I went and did well. You understand what I'm saying? But that was an immediate barrier that Satan could have used, and I've messed my Christian life forever. And I bet I wouldn't be married to a Christian today and my life would be a mess. So relational issues may even be a barrier. Don't let it stop you. Okay. We need to be committed to Jesus. And as disciples, I tell you, if you're a student, let me advise you, discipline yourself. When I first came to church, I used to use the excuse, oh, I can't come to church because of this and that. And Mark Templar sat with me. And we took a sheet of paper. And we went from 5 a.m. to 12 midnight. Every half an hour. And he said, what do you do at 5 a.m.? I said, I'm in bed. What do you do at 6 a.m.? 7 a.m. And I planned my itinerary. Here is a guy who said he had no time. And I had all this time. I didn't use it well. And I remember we had this schedule, and that term, I came top in taxation. Taxation was a subject I never liked until then. And I became top in taxation. And all these friends, and especially the girls in the class or women, coming to me thinking I'm this guru in taxation. Guess what? It was my opportunity to invite them to church. They wanted me to teach them taxation. The English tax system, my mom says, is quite confusing. And guess what? It was the opportunity for me to get friends to church. The barriers could be overcome. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be persistent. We need to overcome those barriers. Point number three. This woman has certain core conviction, which surprises me. When he came to Jesus, he said, she said, Lord, Son of David. Now, Son of David is a messianic title. How would a Gentile know that title? You need to think about it for a moment. You see, in Mark 3, verse 8, you can go and refer. It said, in that region of Tyre and Sidon, everybody have heard about Jesus. This woman, people who come to Christ, need to have some core convictions about Jesus. Said, Son of David. In other words, Jesus, you are not an ordinary person. Okay? You are the Son of God. This is what you do. You heal people. You bring people to God. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. That is a messianic title. Gentiles don't really address Jesus. They normally will say you are a teacher. But to say you are Son of David means this woman had certain core conviction about Jesus. And I think as disciples, we need to have strong convictions about our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And about our faith. About our God. We cannot be shallow. We will be tested. And at that point, your convictions will be in question. Seriously. We will be tested. And at that point, your conviction will be in question. We need to develop strong convictions. I did a study on God. Of course, as you can see, you can never do an entire study on God. But God the Creator, God created the visible and the invisible. There are things God has created that we will never know. Our mind can never comprehend God. It's transcendent. Okay, therefore, in all situations, we need to be humble. Human beings ought to be humble. We will never understand everything. Okay? And you need to be, I studied God for a year, and it strengthened my conviction. He can do anything. There is nothing too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible with God. But you see, as Christians, we need to have certain core convictions. Because when this woman was asked to go away, she, in verse 25, she came and knelt before Jesus again. He said, Lord, help me. I know whom you are. You don't send people away. You are the God of passion. That is a core conviction. When things are not going well in your life, or the way you think it should go, you need to trust God has a plan. You will not understand it at that point. Just know that God is in control. It's easily said, but God is in control. Jesus is still Lord. He rose from the dead. There are certain core convictions that we need to have. In the religious world, some of them have the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. They are core convictions. Those things we need to have. And this woman had core convictions. Whether it's our giving, and you think, I'm an accountant, if I give this, I'm in deficit and that. Core conviction that we honor God with our wealth. Do you believe in that? Do you believe God will take care of you? You see what I'm saying? Core convictions. If you are humble in situation, would you be lifted up? Of course you will. If you are a peacemaker, Bible says you are the sons of God. Okay? So they slap you, give the other cheek, the peacemaker, core conviction. It's foolishness to the world. As Christians, we need to have core convictions as to how we live our life. The purity required. That is a core conviction. The sexual jokes we are not going to indulge in. That is a core conviction. We are not going to on the internet to watch the pornography. That is core conviction. You understand what I'm saying? The woman had a core conviction. Who say, you are the son of God. Son of David. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You bring salvation. That is a core conviction. Finally, we see in this woman something that we all need to learn. What I call humiliating humility. Humiliating humility. Jesus said in verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Wow. If anybody calls you a dog, would you be fired up? You are a dog. It's not a great thing to be called, is it? Her humility is amazing. But faith, if we're going to have faith, we need great humility. The interesting thing the world we have today. Imagine today Jesus saying this thing to this woman. Jesus would have gone against the race act. Okay? Jesus would have violated the gender act, sexism. The religious disability, whatever. The child was sick, wasn't she? All these things in our world of entitlement. We all feel we are entitled to something. You need to treat me right. This is my what? Human rights. And the woman could have gone for all this. But she says to Jesus, I'm okay to be a dog. I will accept that title. Call me a dog. You see, Paul in Philippians was talking about his heritage. We human beings, we want the titles. We want to be acknowledged. Okay, students go from nothing and then they become BA and MA and PhD, whatever. And they get into jobs and titles. You see what I'm saying? Especially if you're from Africa, they value these things. It may be valued in other areas as well. But in Africa, if a parent introduces their son or daughter, this is my son Rory, he's a doctor. It must follow. They don't just say, this is my son, Rory. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, I am a Hebrew of Hebrew. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. In regards to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, I love God so much, I kill people for him. I speak eloquently in the talks of men and angels. I have the gift of knowledge and prophecy. Okay, I give what I possess to the poor. I surrender myself. I'm a Pharisee. I fast. I give to the poor. Legalistic righteousness, he said, I'm faultless. I mean, and then when he came to Christ, he said, all these things I have, I consider it rubbish. I consider it rubbish when I came to know Christ. He said, in fact, I want to know Christ and I want to become like him in his death. You see the humility? The human titles, the acquisition of title is gone. We strip everything and we put on Christ. Amen. That is the humility the woman had. And Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. So, the lesson for me today, how loving am I if I said I have the faith? If you have a faith that can move mountains and you have no love, you are nothing. Am I loving? How do I feel about people in my family group, in my church, people I reach out to? Do I bring them towards Christ or I look after my own interests? My pain, my health, my finances. Okay? Number two, do I persevere in times of opposition when I face barriers and obstacles? Would I go all the way trusting that God is in control? Ask yourself that question. Number three, as a Christian, do you have core convictions? Do you have core convictions or are you just a believer? You come to church, nice atmosphere, teas and coffees at the back, nice people, great singing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Core convictions means Eliab could go to Ethiopia on his own without his comfortable environment and preach the word. That is called conviction. In your college, you are being persecuted, you stand up and said, yes, Christ Jesus is Lord. That is called conviction. Your friends make you feel foolish and you actually say, actually, yes, I am a slave, I'm a fool for Christ. That is called conviction. Finally, how humble are we towards our faith? Do we want to be respected? The entitlement? Or would we be willing to be the dogs? That woman said, Paul says, look, I want to be like that. Jesus himself, the scripture says, being the very nature of God, he gave up everything to become man and became obedient to what? Death. From glory to grave. That is humility. That is the lesson we learn from this Canaanite woman. And Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Thank you very much.